God, amen.
Amen.
So good to see you this morning. Want to welcome you to our Easter service. It's really good to worship, amen? Amen. On this day, but it's really good to worship anytime, but this day is so special. This morning, you didn't get to be part of one difference. This morning, we welcomed into our congregation, into the process, two men that have said, I sense God calling me to the ministry. And so we welcomed them. We thought Easter was a good day to do that. And so in our earlier service, we welcomed two men that have said yes to Lord. Here I am, send me. And so that was really, really special for them, special for us, because they're part of our congregation, and we will mentor them and help them to go to the next step and the next step, and eventually they'll be ordained pastors. I praise God for that. I praise God for you. I hope that you have had a good morning. We have. We have had a great morning. Amen? Amen. Some of you got to enjoy some good breakfast. I know there was a lot of it there. Thank you so much for those of you that provided that. I would say just one more thing about your bulletin before we go to the Lord in prayer. Pastor Charles will be conducting Connie Denny's funeral this Saturday. Some of you, if you've been around here for any amount of time, knew Connie. Connie was part of us for many years. Long as I've been here, Connie was. She was part of the Clarissa Free Methodist Church before that. Connie had been in a care center. She's only my age, but she passed away. Pastor Charles will be doing her funeral here this Saturday at 2. That's in your bulletin. So please always keep one eye to your bulletin. There's always a lot of names, a lot of families that would really appreciate your prayers. Speaking of praying, let's pray now. God, it is so good. It is so good for us to be together like this, to worship you this morning. We have sung and we have lifted our voices to you. You have been so good to us, O God. How we give you praise, how we adore you, how we need you, O God. And on this morning, Heavenly Father, we're reminded again, the tomb is empty. Not because the disciples stole his body away. Not because Jesus was never dead in the first place. But because Jesus, God incarnate, is risen from the dead. And we celebrate that this morning all over again. And we give you praise, Father. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. And we would ask, Father, by your Spirit, minister to us today. We have come to worship you. And I would pray, Father, for the other churches that are gathering and have gathered all over our regions. Bless them and guide them and use them for your glory. We would pray the same thing here. Use us, O God, for your glory. May your Spirit even now help us in the busyness of the day, in the busyness of the week, in the chaotic business of life. May your Spirit help us to lay all those things aside right now, because we have come to worship you. We have come to hear from you, our Heavenly Father. We have come to look at Scripture again and be reminded of your goodness and your grace and your mercy and your love, and be reminded the tomb is empty. Thank you for every person here. Minister to us, Father, by your Spirit, as we worship you. We do lift up the names on that prayer list. We do pray for them, Father. Many cancers, still COVID in our area, loss of life, difficulties of life, many, many challenges. We lift them up to you, Father, and ask one more time your will to be done in every situation. Thank you again for everyone here. It is so good for me, such a joy for me this morning, Lord, to see so many of our friends and family here with us this morning, earlier service and this service. Guide us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I was reading a week or two ago from a Christian magazine called The Vine and the Branches. And a lot of authors in there, kind of like the Decision magazine, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's magazine, has a lot of authors, a lot of great articles. I love to read. I love to learn. But I was reading from The Vine and the Branches the other day, and there was a pastor by the name of Stephen Carlson from Pennsylvania, wrote a good article. And this article had a really long title. And I looked at that title, and two things stuck out to me. Part of his title that was, Death is Defeated and Fear is Removed. Okay, you still with me? The earlier service, they're getting a little drowsy on me. So I'm hoping that don't happen again. I'm hoping you can stay with me. Death has been defeated, therefore fear has been removed. That is really good news. And so I read the article, and while I'm not going to quote only but one sentence of the whole article, I got to thinking about this and thought this is a very, very relevant subject for this morning. Why? Well, because we celebrate the empty tomb. But also because we are keenly aware, 1 year ago on Easter, I would think it would be safe to say that none of you were in church worshiping. Would that be safe to say? Everything was locked down. Oh, there might have been 5-6 of us here. We were conveying over technology. We're using Facebook to minister to you. But my point is, this past year, the pandemic, the word COVID and coronavirus has put multitudes of people on high alert, so to speak, to fear and death. Would you concur? The last year has put a multitude, millions and perhaps billions around the globe of people on a high alert to fear and death. A global pandemic will do that, I guess. And so I've been thinking about this last year, and I've been thinking about today. Read that article, read a bunch more, read the scripture, and I've put together this thought, how we need to address death is defeated and fear is removed. I said this earlier, and I've probably said this to you before, but statistics will tell us when we're in our teens and 20s and 30s and early 40s, we don't think about death much. I guess that would probably be true for me also. But the statistics would say because at that point in life, we think we're going to live forever. We got it made. We're going to be around here a long time. And we don't think about death. But by the time you start to hit 45, 50, we start to recognize we're not going to live forever, and we start to think about death. That's what statistics tell us. Death need not scare us, by the way. Are you with me? Death need not scare us. And I'll tell a little bit more about that in a minute. Not so much in preparation for this in the last week, but in the last week, 10 days, I was listening to an old interview that Billy Graham was having with Larry King. Anybody listen to Larry King in the past? No, me either. But this last week I did, because he was interviewing Billy Graham and the subject matter was death. And Larry King says to Billy, he says, well, Billy, and he's leaning across the table, well, Billy, what do you think happens when we die? And Billy said, one of two things, you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And so anyway, it was a good conversation between them, and Billy was giving him something to think about. And the point was, the reality is that we will all cross that bridge. Death is a reality. Until the Lord Jesus comes back, we've been talking about that second advent, that rapture for a long time. Until that happens, death is a reality. It's one for one. You were born, we're going to die. It's a reality. When pandemics come rolling through, it seems death is more of a possibility, and people are legitimately afraid. I want to address the idea of death being defeated and fear being removed in connection to the empty tomb this morning. If you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew 28, please. Sherry, would you hand me that, please? Matthew 28. Thank you. This is a story that we all know. I hope that we've all read it lately. And I know that you've read it in the past. I hope that you take time to read these kind of stories often. So let us start with Matthew 28. Now after the Sabbath, I'm in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His, that's the angel, countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You will remember reading this account before. There were, in fact, guards at the tomb. You remember that, right, brothers and sisters? Matthew addresses that here. When the angel showed up, the earthquake happened, the angel sat on the rolled away stone, was as bright as lightning, and reason enough, the Bible says, those guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The women were also there. But the angel answers and addresses the women. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So, the Bible says they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, exactly as the angel of God had said to them only a few minutes earlier, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. We know the story, right? All right, keep the story in your mind. Remember what the angel said. Remember what Jesus said. Keep the story in mind. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Or if you don't want to turn to Genesis chapter 3, you can watch it on the big screen. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the setting, I'm sure. You've read it, I'm sure, as much as I have. God has created Adam and Eve. God has created the Garden of Eden. There is sinless perfection there. There is peace there. There is a relationship between God the Father, the Creator God, and Adam and Eve that is perfect. God has given Adam some directive. There's a lot of opportunity here, all kinds of fruit, all kinds of beauty, but there is one tree you shall not eat of. We all remember the story, do we not? Work with me here, this means yes. All right. So we get to verse 8 in chapter 3. And we pick it up there. And they heard, that's Adam and Eve, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Their relationship with God was so peaceful and so perfect and so intimate because there was no sin. They literally heard Him in the garden with them. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. They had never done that before. They didn't have to. There was no sin. It was sinless perfection and peace. Then the Lord God called to Adam, and He said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, that's Adam, to God, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." He'd never been afraid before. They had intimate, perfect relationship with the living God, and they were not afraid before. So he said, that's Adam to God, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, that's God to Adam, he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" You see, God already knew the answer. You know that story as well as I do. Let me make a point about that before we go back to the empty tomb and the directives of the angel and Jesus. Sin makes one afraid. You cannot hide from it. It will find you, just like it found them in the Garden of Eden. Adam had sinned against God. And from now on, at this point, Adam, Eve, and humanity was afraid. In this case, he was afraid of God's presence. But all of a sudden, when sin enters into the human equation, peace leaves us and fear enters in. That's exactly what happened here. When sin enters into the human equation, peace leaves us and fear enters in. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now, we've got this. Do not be afraid from the angel of God and from Jesus. And we've got this equation when mankind was afraid. Are you still tracking with me, brothers and sisters? Thank you. Someone is. The disciples were afraid when they were in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus. Jesus, the rock, the Lamb of God, was being arrested, and they fled in fear. And if that wasn't enough, some of them were eyewitnesses to the next day's events. They had seen their rock, their Messiah, beaten and nailed to the cross. It only solidified their fear. The Messiah was dead or dying. The Romans and the Pharisees, who were at odds with these Galilean group, were very much alive. And these followers of Jesus were afraid. Let me say something to us, friends, that I want you to ponder and I want you to absorb a little bit. Fear can consume you, and it will consume you if you let it. Are you still with me? Fear can and will consume us if we let it. The very thought in this last year, for millions, the very thought of dying, especially all of a sudden from some strange little unseen virus, can and has caused panic and fear and trembling. This brings me back to the announcement of the angel of God and the words of the resurrected Christ that said, "Do not be afraid. Death has been defeated because the tomb is now empty and fear has been removed from all that will put their faith and trust completely in the resurrected Messiah." Amen? Amen. Death is defeated. The one quote from Pastor Stephen Carlson's article, and I quote, "God's most often repeated command to us in all of Scripture is, do not be afraid." God knows that ever since sin has entered into the world, we have been afraid, end quote. So that is why the commandment over and over and over, fear not, do not be afraid, do not let your hearts be troubled, over and over and over, because since the Garden of Eden in the sin against God, we have been by nature afraid. But since Jesus has overcome the tomb and death and sin and the devil, there is no need any longer to be afraid. Hallelujah. Now I ask us this morning, what are you afraid of? You afraid of dying? Please bear in mind, I'm not making light of any difficulties, because I know folks among us have cancer. Folks among our communities have had COVID, still do. I just mentioned we lost one of our own the last few days. Death is real. Border crises are real. I'm not minimizing any of that. I am simply asking us to ponder for a moment, what are we afraid of? While you're thinking about that, let me refer to a little story that Jesus and the disciples lived out in Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. You know the story as well as I do. The story is simply this. It says, when he got in the boat, that's Jesus, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he, that's Jesus, was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Now, I'm not quite done with that little story. And besides, but you already know the story anyway. But there are times in your life and mine when we will feel like that. You with me? The waves and the winds of life are assailing you. It seems like the waves are about to overcome you, and you are afraid, just like they were. And they cried out to him in terror and in fear, saying, Lord, do something. We are about to perish. Here's the point. He said to them, why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? And he didn't leave it at that. He said, oh, you of little faith. That's a bit stinging because we have all been there and we know that phrase could apply, could we not? That phrase could apply to us also. And so I ask us to ponder, what are we afraid of? They were afraid for their lives, legitimately so. And he said to them, oh, you of little faith, why are you afraid? He said. And I wonder how much rebuking would God be doing of us today when we are trembling, afraid. I've had lots of conversations with lots of folks in lots of years, and probably had these rationale and reasons and excuses myself, but some of the answers to why are we so afraid, I have heard, well, I don't want to die. Well, I don't want to have COVID. Well, I don't like being told I have cancer. I'm not that old. I thought we were supposed to live about 70, 80, 90 years. All this I've heard, some of it I've rationalized with myself. And so I understand that completely, and so does the living God. And then I think of about this little scenario that we saw early from Matthew 28. How terrifying that might be to those women. We know what the guards were like. They were like dead men for fear on the ground. And the instruction was, do not be afraid. That's the instruction. Or I see this story in Matthew chapter 8, and there's a multitude more just like it, where they're going through some difficulties, and he says, do not be afraid. Matter of fact, he says to them, what's the matter with your faith? Then there's the whole the John 14 passage that I know that you know, that he was having that conversation with the disciples on the night of his betrayal in the upper room. This just happened to be John's version of the night. And you remember his instructions from John 14:1. I know that you do. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You remember the conversation? Over and over and over in their most anxious moments, he said, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And I ask us this morning, why are we afraid? Would he be rebuking us for our fear of the things about us. I'm going to say something, friends, that I hope resonates with all of you, but if it doesn't, I hope it will. If our surrendered faith, I mean fully, if our faith is in Christ, the resurrected Son of God, we have nothing to fear. Are you still with me? Yeah, death might seem a little scary. But if my faith is in the one that wore the crown and went to the cross, if my faith is in him, I have nothing to fear. Even if they slay me, Job said in the book of Job, yet in my flesh I will see God. Hallelujah. And even if I die, the Apostle Paul said, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I say, hallelujah. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? Why are we so afraid? We're afraid of everything, it seems. And if we know the risen Christ, there's no need to fear. Death has been defeated. Fear has been removed. But if we have not surrendered to Christ, if we are still in our wayward journey, if we are still apart from him, we say, Jim, I believe in God. Have you surrendered to Christ? Because if we are still over there, there is plenty to fear. As Billy Graham told Larry King, there's one of two options when you die. One's called hell. And if we have not got right with God through faith in the resurrected Son and recognize that it's all real, recognize that I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and have not embraced him as Lord and are following him, there's plenty to fear. Because eternity is one breath away for all of us. Now, let me wrap this up because time is slipping away. The disciples and the women were very afraid that night. Who could blame them? All of us would have been too. Their Messiah, their rock. Pastor Charles quoted Thomas the other night, and when they looked at him and said, "My Lord and my God," had been killed. They were afraid. But it's at precisely at that moment when we think life has gone to heck in a handbasket, my health has gone out the window, my spouse has said, "I'm done with you." My finances are all gone. I learned from a brother just this morning. Been thrown out where I've been for 10 years. I have no place to live. When those kinds of events happen, as they did for the angel, for the women and the disciples that night, when those kind of things happen, it's precisely at those kind of moments when we hear from the angel of God, and we hear from the resurrected Son of God, "Do not be afraid." It's precisely at those moments. Trust him anyway. It's precisely when the waves of life are about to take over the boat. The boat is filling up. It's precisely at those moments when he said, "Why are you so fearful, you of little faith?" I don't know, friends. Maybe it's because I'm old. Maybe it's because I've had cancer. I've had COVID. But dying does not frighten me. I believe when the Word of God said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe it. I believe when Jesus said to Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus, you can read this in John chapter 11, "Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." I believe it. There is no need to fear these things. Do they cause us that wonder and some anxiety? Of course. But to have that fear that consumes us and defines us and envelops us, Jesus said, you got to work on your faith if that's what's happening. To close, one more set of scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, then I'll close. I want us to remember that thought. Death is defeated. Fear is removed. 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's had the conversation with them about the death and the resurrection of Christ. He has taught them. He knows what they've heard. That's why he makes this first statement. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, which he knows is the case because he's the one that told them, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's the first question. Knowing full well the foundation he had given them, and part of that was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's asking them, so why are you saying there's no resurrection when we've already told you that there is? Then he goes on. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. If there is no resurrection. Yes, and he takes it further. And we are found, those of us that told you about this truth in the first place, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if, in fact, the dead do not rise. When you read that a few times, it makes perfect sense. You might have to read it again this afternoon. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That's a very serious matter. If we are still in our sin because he did not rise from the dead, because we have not come to him by faith, it is a very, very serious matter. Paul then says in verse 20, same chapter, but now Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Then he captures that little scenario I mentioned to us from Genesis chapter 3. For since by man came death, that's a small m man, that's Adam. by man, that's the Son of Man, capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead. Then he elaborates, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. Praise team, let's get ready. Friends, death has been defeated. Fear has entered into the human race because of sin. And fear will continue to motivate and dominate and dictate who you are until we come to faith in Christ. And so I simply ask us this morning, have you surrendered completely to the resurrected Christ? I do not mean, do you believe in God? That's a wonderful place to start. The devil believes in God, James says, and trembles. I mean, have you been born of God? Have you surrendered completely to Christ by faith? Have you said, yes, I am a sinner, I need a Savior? Have you committed to following Jesus? Because if you haven't, Paul said, we're still in our sins. That's a very dangerous place to be. So I'm going to ask you to stand. All of us, we're going to sing anyway. I'm going to ask you to stand to sing. And I'm going to ask you this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes. All of us, all of us. No need to look around. This is about you and the Lord, not somebody else. And I'm going to ask you to ponder, is your name written in the book of life? Have you been born of God? Have you surrendered everything to Christ? It's more than I believe in God. It's I recognize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I repent of my sin. I call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, as Savior and Lord. If you haven't done that, friends, I want you to raise your hands this morning. If you're not sure if you're right with God through faith in His Son, I want you to slip your hand up and down this morning. Thank you. Any others? You see, friends, Jesus is the only way to peace. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only one that could defeat that death and remove our fear. And if you have not surrendered completely to Him, I want to encourage you, do it today before it is eternally too late. You say, Jim, I got lots of time. You don't know that. Surrender to Him today, friends. Eternity is at stake. I'm going to pray for us. If you're standing here today, you've raised your hand, or you think you should have, then pray with me. Father God, I just commit my life to You. I recognize, as Your Bible says, we are all sinners. That's me, and I need a Savior. I recognize that Jesus died on the cross for me. I recognize that He rose again. I believe it all. And I put my faith in Him completely. I am giving my life today to You, Lord Jesus. Take control. Lead me by Your Spirit. Save me. Forgive me. I am committed to follow Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that if we have prayed that this morning, that Your Spirit would descend upon any and all that have prayed to receive Christ by faith. I pray that Your Spirit, Father, would give us new eyes to see in ways that we have never seen before. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit would give us the strength to address things that we have never addressed before. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would lead us to a life without fear of the unknown and death, because we know that when we close our eyes in death, we're going to be with Jesus. I pray that your Spirit would lead and guide and direct and fill and bless these that have called upon your name today. For the glory of God, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.